Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. So the other day at the mall down in Toronto at the Eaton Center, this young man called out my name and he said, "Craig Valentine." And I went over to him and he said, "Hey, I was at the High Status Summit. I saw you speak and I want to be a millionaire like you and your client, Jason Capital. And I want to move to Puerto Rico and live in a mansion." And I said, "Great, great. I can help you do that. And there's one thing, one skill you must develop in order to do that." I told him that secret. Now, I'm going to share that secret with you today on this podcast. This is episode 97 of Early to Rise Radio, and I'm calling this one, "What Self-Made Millionaires Do That Others Won't." Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, and I can't wait to give you the 10 biggest secrets, tips, hacks, tricks, whatever you want to call them, that are going to turn you into a self-made millionaire. Now, I went from broke at age 25 to being a millionaire at about age 30. And if I can do it, as you will see in a moment, then you can do it too, okay? No matter what your age, no matter what your background, no matter what your experience, you can do it too. Of course, this isn't all that I have for you, and self-made millionaires are also masters of their time. That's why I put together a couple of books for you and created more epic content. And Early to Rise Radio is actually sponsored by these books, including my new book, Unstoppable, which is a Wall Street Journal bestseller. I am so grateful for everyone that purchased Unstoppable. It is, first of all, I want to give you a warning about it. When you read the last chapter, you might cry. But it's also going to give you the 90-day blueprint that is going to be a key component of you becoming a self-made millionaire. So make sure you grab it from Amazon or beunstoppablebook.com. And then pick up my first game-changing book, The Perfect Day Formula, How to Own Your Day and Control Your Life. And you can grab a copy of that at freeperfectdaybook.com. That's right, it's free, and you'll improve every area of your life. Now, let me give you a quick background about Craig Valentine. In case you don't know me, in case you haven't heard my story before, it's really important to know where I came from and all of the struggles that I kind of went through in order to help you get to the next level, okay? Now, I went through these things and, you know, I started with some hurdles, just like you probably started with some hurdles, but I also started with some benefits. So let me give you that quick background. I didn't come from nothing and I didn't do it all myself, but I still had a self-made journey to being a self-made millionaire. I was born in Canada in 1975. It is a very good country. A very good country. I'm very grateful for it. We have a very healthy social safety net. We have free education up to the age of 18. We have modestly priced universities, especially back when I went to college in the mid-90s. And we have tons of opportunity to work. And that is probably the most important one, the tons of opportunity to work. And I took advantage of all of it because you are not going to be a self-made millionaire without taking advantage of the opportunity to work. Now, most important, I also had loving parents, Howard and Marlene Ballantyne. Howard, who passed away in 2008, and Marlene, who is still alive and doing so great today. And these parents of mine, they worked me hard. They worked me hard. I was working from the age of definitely 8. I remember actually way back when I was like 5 or 6 years old, we would go along the road in the springtime and collect all the empty beer bottles. There was these stubby little beer bottles back then, and we'd pick them up and, we'd make like $20 or something. It'd be a big day for us. And I remember I'd always get the beer bottle with like a couple of dead mice in it. I'd pour those out, all freaked out by it. But we would do that every spring because we were turning over every rock to make money because that's what we had to do. And my parents who worked me hard, they taught me a lot of the tricks and the tips that you're going to learn in today's list. But my parents didn't have a lot of money. They didn't make a lot of money. I think my mom probably topped out at about $25,000 a year. as a secretary or administrative assistant at a factory where she worked. My father was a farmer, and he was a little wild and reckless in many ways. And unfortunately, he was an alcoholic, and he was an alcoholic for over 30 years, and he passed away at a young age. I'm actually surprised that he even made it that far. They also had a bad relationship between the two of them. They fought all the time about the drinking. And so that put a lot of stress and anxiety on me that started around age 9 or 10. And they had a bad relationship with money. You know, they were like the type of people who would say money doesn't grow on trees, and we always bought used stuff. And we did go to Disney World. So, I mean, I guess obviously my life wasn't that bad. We went to Disney World when I was 10 years old. My mom must have saved up for a long, long time to do that, but she got us there. And man, that was a great trip. Even though my favorite part was eating McDonald's in the hotel room, we still went to Disney World. But I also went to school with patches on my pants, and I was very embarrassed by it. Very embarrassed. And I said to myself, I will never, ever live like this when I'm a grown up. And so I'm grateful for all those experiences, because what else can you do other than be grateful for everything that you've gone through, right? So my parents pushed me, and they taught me to work hard, and they helped me with homework, and they got me my first job at age 13. So I worked on the farm at age 6 and 8 and 10, and you know, I remember picking stones in the fields all day long at age 10. That was hard work. But I got my first actual paid job for somebody else when I was 13 years old. It was digging ditches and manual labor at a local greenhouse. And I remember my first check was $3.10 an hour. I may have even started at $2.85 an hour, but I definitely know it's $3.10 an hour, and that was Canadian. So that was back when the Canadian dollar was really bad, so it was probably like $1.50 American. And that was 1989 or 88. And, you know, at the same time, I kind of loved it because I kind of got to work on my own, and I got to burn stuff at the greenhouse. So I'd burn all these old boxes, and I'd dig these ditches and work outside. And I didn't have to deal with too many people, so it suited my introverted nature. But it stopped me from really developing money-making skills, which I'm going to share with you in a second. Now, along the way, I also then went to college, and I got an exercise physiology master's degree. So I spent 6 years at university, and I didn't get out until 25, and I ended up being a millionaire around age 30. So if I can do it, going from broke to 7 figures in 5 years when I finish school, then you can do it too. All thanks to these 10 tips, which I want to share with you now. Some of them are mindset, and some of them are skill-based. And it starts with number one, which is singularity of focus. Singularity of focus. If you don't have singularity of focus, and you're distracted, and you're doing all these things, you are never going to be put on the path to making money, and it's going to be very frustrating for you. So I want to start with a little story. Maybe you've heard this one, that every day in Africa, a gazelle wakes up and it knows that it has to outrun the fastest lion. And every day in Africa, a lion wakes up and it knows that it must outrun the slowest gazelle. Otherwise, it'll starve to death. And so every day in your business, you must be having that singularity of focus, like the gazelle that knows it needs to outrun the lion. What's the most important thing to do today, guys? Let's outrun those lions. And when the lions get together, they say, what's the most important thing to do today? Well, we need to work as a team. And I actually saw this in Africa. I saw lions work as a team to kill a warthog. Well, they would say, we must work as a team to hunt down prey. Otherwise, we'll starve. Singularity of focus. And so back to your business, you have to have that singularity of focus. I was just having a coaching email session with one of my clients out in Singapore. And he had spent some time with me when he journeyed to America. He came to a couple seminars and he learned from me. And he said, oh, thank you so much for the reminder to have my goals written out where I can constantly see them and be reminded about what really matters. And this young man named Daniel Schreiber, he said, now that my girlfriend Candace and I have clarified our one thing, every day we wake up and we say to each other, is what we're doing right now helping us achieve our one thing? Isn't that great? I have a friend of mine, a very successful entrepreneur named Chris Guerrero. He says, in my company, we say, is this the best use of my time right now? And I know as I do this podcast, it is the best use of my time because I love sharing these messages with you. And I also spend time with the great Bedros Koulian, and he has singularity of focus, and he teaches this all the time. And he says, Craig, in my business, every day I wake up and I say, I want to have 2,500 Fit Body Bootcamp locations by 2023. And I think to myself, am I doing the right things right now to move myself ahead? And is my team getting the right training to do the same? It's that simple. In my business, every day I wake up and I say, I need to get 1,000 coaching clients into my 2x10less.com program, into my workshops, into my masterminds. I need to get 1,000 coaching clients in 2019. And that is my singularity of focus. And so every day I'm waking up and I'm going after that. So you have to say no to a lot of other things in order to say yes to your singularity of focus, because singularity of focus is going to bring you the $1 million paycheck. If you want to do great things, you must do fewer things. So if you're doing 3 different side hustles, stop. If you have 4 different products you want to launch, stop. Go all in on one, that one thing. Hustle hard on that one thing. It is going to bring you the massive results that you want. Now, you do have to hustle when you're beginning and getting started. And so I was saying to one of my clients the other day, listen, you got this project going on and you're distracted by all these other things, but if you do nothing but this, you'll be successful. Make a list of everyone that you know and reach out to 10 to 20 people per day and drum up business. We've all heard that phrase, got to go out there and drum up some business. And it's true. There comes a time in a small business where you have to do a ton of manual labor and legwork and ask for the sales. Even my friends who buy a lot of traffic these days, buy a lot of Facebook ads and they make money while they sleep. They didn't start out like that. Grant Cardone didn't start out just buying a ton of media and flying around the world. No, he started out drumming up business, drumming up business. When I was a personal trainer, I was out there drumming up business. When I had my first online product, I was sending individual emails to people who had contacted me and I was drumming up business. Even today, before I made this podcast, I was out there drumming up business. I have a mastermind coming up and I was drumming up business. I got some rejections, but I also drummed up some business. And so you are going to get a lot of rejection, but you have to pound the pavement now harder than when you pound the pavement to train for a marathon. There's a woman, the youngest female billionaire in the world, a woman named Sarah Blakely. I have a lot of respect for her. And she is out there drumming up business, drumming up business. In fact, when she started Spanx, she would go into all these stores and drum up business. She would sell face to face. And today, she might be the greatest female entrepreneur on the planet. Her husband, Jesse Itzler, who is also a billionaire on his own right, says the same thing, says she's the best entrepreneur, period, on the planet, Sarah Blakely. But she all started drumming up business, nose to nose, toes to toes, face to face, doing the sales. And that's one of the biggest secrets I could pass to you is get good at face to face sales. I'll tell you more about that in a second, but I want to finish with one story about this man named Zig Ziglar. You probably know Zig or know of him, heard of him. You know, he had passed away, but he left us with such a great legacy. He sold over 3 million, maybe 30 million copies of his books, maybe 300 million. There were so many zeros in the article I was reading about him. They didn't have any commas either. So I was like kind of confused, but he sold a lot of books, put it that way. He helped a lot of people. He had an impact, maybe even bigger than Tony Robbins. But Zig Ziglar started out as a very unsuccessful door-to-door pot and pan salesperson. And I was just reading an article about how he was ready to give up one day. He said, I have to sell something today or I'm going to give up. And I also heard later on, it was either him or another salesperson. They basically had a rule. They had a rule that if they didn't sell any pots and pans they didn't get to eat dinner. Man, are you sacrificing that much? Are you saying, hey, listen, if I don't go out there and drum up some business, I don't get dinner tonight? I mean, that'll change your mindset, won't it? That'll change your mindset about going out there and doing something and taking action. If you don't get dinner tonight, I don't get to eat today if I don't sell. Man, now that's a different mindset. Now you're the lion in Africa instead of, you know, the soft person that you might be. Because in this day and age, it's very easy to be soft. And you can't be a self-made millionaire if you're soft. I'm sorry. This is not a hobby. This business that you're starting, this is your livelihood. You got to go out there and have singularity of focus every single day. Now, the next thing you need to do, number two here on our list, is you need to turn your flaws into strengths. I have a lot of flaws, a lot of flaws. When I was 17 years old, that was the first time I went to the library looking for a self-help book because I was very angry. I was a very poor loser in sports. I would yell at my friends. Man, I can't believe they stayed friends with me. I would yell at them. I'd blame them for everything, every goal that got scored on us, every time that we lost the game. It's somebody else's fault. It wasn't my fault. Of course it was my fault. But I realized that. I recognized that. And I went and I started getting help. And there's a guy named Ray Dalio who's a billionaire, and he says you got to lean into your feedback. You can't go around thinking you're perfect. You can't go around ignoring your weaknesses. You got to lean into your feedback. You got to bounce back. You got to overcome. And so that's what I did. I went and got coaches and mentors, and I said, hey, listen, be brutally honest with me. Where am I failing? Bedros told me that I was failing in leadership. I was failing in communication. I was failing by being, you know, not giving enough people enough time and patience and attention. And that was hard to hear, of course, but it turned me into the person I am today, the coach that helps people all around the world. I do have over 1,000 coaching clients, but I want 1,000 more, but I'm helping them all over the world. And every time I have a coaching call with somebody, they go, wow, that helped me so much. Because I see with the outside eyes through my experience of being an entrepreneur for nearly 20 years, I'm able to help them because they can't see for themselves. But it all goes back to them leaning into the feedback and turning their flaws into strengths by asking their coach for help. So you have to do the hard things. You have to do the hard things first. You have to set up a fence around your distractions, your temptations, and your obstacles. That's what I teach people. First of all, you identify your flaws. Okay, listen, I get distracted every day by social media. Great. Great, you've leaned into the feedback. Now I can tell you what to do. And the easiest way to overcome your obstacles is to build that fence around yourself. Think of yourself as a little lamb, little lost little lamb. And if your obstacles and distractions and temptations are coyotes and wolves, and if you're out there lost and there's no fence around you, you're dead meat. You have no chance. You're like that person who's addicted to potato chips but insists on having potato chips in the house for the other people, you know, for the kids. Well, you're going to end up eating potato chips the whole darn bag every single day. So you must stop your weaknesses from getting in the way. That person would need to get potato chips out of the house. They need to protect themselves, build themselves a fence around themselves between them and the potato chips. Now, back to your business. What are your sources of distraction? What are your sources of weakness? How can you stop yourself from giving in to those things? What extreme do you need to go to in order to block those things? What are you willing to do in order to gain control over your weaknesses? Think about that. Think about how far you are willing to go, because planning conquers all. If your weakness is something like I had, that I was an introvert, my goodness, then all we need to do is plan. We need to plan for figuring out how can we have more energy? How can we rest and recover and then go out there and be our best selves? We do need to give ourselves time alone, but then we also need to understand that, you know what, there's very few introverts who were able to build a business without interacting with other people. And so yeah, we do get energy by being alone, but we also need to overcome some hurdles. So planning conquers all, whether you have distractions, temptations, anything in your way, planning conquers all. Which leads us into the next one. Number three, which is create solutions for big problems. That's what self-made millionaires do, because we only get paid for adding value to the world. And you don't get paid for adding value or solving small problems. What you need to do is identify an area in your marketplace, a gap in the marketplace where you can come in and solve problems that remain. You know, I love the story of Uber, because we've all been in a taxi cab at one point in our lives where, you know, it smelled and the driver was rude and they drove too fast and you didn't feel comfortable and it was hard to get the taxi in the first place. Man, taxis sucked. And so along came Travis, the guy who started Uber, and he solved an enormous problem. And you know what? I'm glad he did. Now, he's not the greatest person in the world, but you know what? He solved an enormous problem and he made a lot of money. And that's fine and fair. And so, listen, you might not go out and create the next Uber, but there's got to be a problem. For me, what I made my money on at first was I recognized there was a problem in the fitness world. I was a personal trainer and I saw all these people wasting their time and money and getting no results by doing long, slow, boring cardio. And I knew from the research that if you did shorter burst workouts, resistance training and interval training, that you could get more results in less time. And so I started sharing this with the world and I put it together in a done-for-you program and I made these follow-along workout videos and I solved a massive problem. And that's what I got rewarded for. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are out there trying to solve problems that I call soft problems. And it's one thing to solve a problem. It's another thing to solve a problem that people will pay you for. And so if you want to give somebody motivation, that's great. No one's going to pay you for motivation. Motivation is a soft offer. Hey, I'll get you excited. I'll help you overcome limiting beliefs. You know what? That's fine. And yes, I do need that, but I'm not going to pay you for it. I just want to make money. That's what I want. That's a hard offer. Making money, losing weight, getting more sex. Those are hard offers. And so if you're trying to sell something and you're struggling because no one's buying it, you have to go, you know what? Does my offer really solve a big, hard problem? And the way you figure that out is you go and you do some research. And you combine your experience, your education, and your investigation into an opportunity to solve a big problem. Bedros is out there with Fit Body Bootcamp solving the problem of weight loss. My friend Ed Milette built a big business solving the problem of helping people save and invest their money to make more money. I have clients. Well, my friend Jason Capital, he started off in the dating world, helping men attract women. This is a big problem. And so you have to understand, if you are trying to do the motivation or a heart-centered business, it's going to be very, very tough. Life coaching is incredibly tough to sell. It's going to be very difficult to become a millionaire selling life coaching. What does that even mean, life coaching? That's why I do business coaching. I help people make more money, help people work less. Even productivity is too soft of an offer to get really rich. And so go back, look at what you are trying to do, what your business is trying to solve as a problem. And if it is not solving a hard problem, and if it's not solving a big enough problem, then that's why you're stuck and struggling. Or as I say, struggling, when you're stuck and struggling. Now, if you need some help with that, I do have a coaching program that helps people double their income and work 10 hours less. I call it the 2x10less.com program. If you need help with that, let me know. Send me an email, contact me on Instagram. But it is my mission to help 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you to grow your business faster. And in order to do that, we must learn to sell. So this is tip number 4. You must learn to sell. So the other day at the mall, when I saw that young man and he said, Craig, I want to be a millionaire like you and Jason Capital. I said, well, what do you do right now? He goes, I'm thinking about getting into sales. And I said, great. That is the number one way for you to write your own ticket for life. Sales. Nobody gets rich without selling things. Even if they have to sell themselves and persuade other people to hire them. Okay, so you can have a high-paying job, but you have to sell yourself. You can be a high-paid lawyer, but you have to sell that service. Even J.K. Rowling, a billionaire, had to sell the idea of her books. And so what are the best ways to learn how to sell? Well, there's copywriting. And you can do what I did, which was sit behind a computer and sell your products and services through copywriting. I did email copywriting and video sales letters and all this stuff to sell my products and become a millionaire. I didn't do any phone sales, but I wish I would have learned that skill earlier. Today, I do phone sales, and it's made me another $1 million+. Phone sales is key. And it all follows a script, which I am happy to give you as a coaching client in the 2x10less program. Now, face-to-face sales, as I was saying to that young man at the mall, if you learn how to do face-to-face sales of high-ticket items, that's the hardest skill, I think. The hardest business skill out there is face-to-face sales. It's even harder than leadership, in my opinion. And if you can do face-to-face sales, you can be an employee and make a ton of money, but you absolutely, positively must learn how to sell. That's what I told that young man that day. That's what I told him. And so you know what? I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there at point number 4 of 10. We've made a lot of progress today. We've done singularity of focus. We've talked about turning your flaws into strengths and putting that fence around you so that you can be a high performer. We've talked about the importance of creating big solutions for big problems and identifying a hard offer that you can take to the world because that is what people buy. And then we talked about learning how to sell. And if you have those 4 things in place, you can become a millionaire on that alone. But there are 6 more items I'm going to give you on the next episode of this show. So I'm going to finish off with a quote from Warren Buffett. He said, "I always knew I was going to be rich. I don't think I ever doubted it for a minute." And neither did I. Neither did I. I knew I was going to be rich. I didn't think I was going to be an entrepreneur, though. I thought I was going to get rich working for somebody else. So I didn't. I had to work for myself. I had to become a self-made millionaire, and I want that same for you, okay? Now, let me know what you thought of today's short show. I mean, this is a lot of fun to bring high-energy short shows to you. Let me know if you like the longer one-hour shows. Just send me an Instagram direct message at RealCraigBallentine or email me at support@earlytorise.com. And let me know what you thought of today's show. Go over to iTunes, give us a review and a 5-star ranking. Because life is too short to not go after what you want. Become that self-made millionaire. Like so many of my clients. So many of my clients started out from scratch. Like Isabel de los Rios, Jason Capital, Joel Marion. When I met them, they didn't have any money. I remember Isabel pulling together a couple of credit cards and asking her fiance for money to join my mastermind. And now she has over 1 million customers. Not $1 million, 1 million customers in her business. So I want to help her. I want to help you. I want to help everyone get the money they deserve and work fewer hours, okay? So here's exactly what you're going to do next. You're going to go to 2x10less.com, read the article I wrote for you there, and then get started with that program where you'll work with me for the next 90 days to make more money and become an unstoppable self-made millionaire. All right? Watch for part 2 of this show coming soon. It's going to be a game changer, and I can't wait to help you make more money.